When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined, as always, in Hour 3 by KC Bubba at BD Antrick on the Twitter. Bubba, what is going on, my friend?
Not much, friendo. Not much. Just waiting for. We have a week with no football. Well, technically Senior Bowl, but really no football. So it's a rough one coming up here. We got labor debates for baseball, and I guess there's basketball and hockey going on. I just haven't paid attention to it. But other than that, life is good. Life is really good.
Yeah, we got Shrine Game too. Senior Bowl same week. It's very, very interesting. Lots of good prospects, man. And I'm, keeping my notes together for I put out my first War Room show with John Lobb, previewing the Senior Bowl a little bit. And I talked about some of the Shrine Game prospects as well. So you can check that out over on In This League. It's on a regular fantasy football feed. So if you want to check that out, I talk a little bit about it. But, you know, the big thing for those games is the practice notes. That's what you want, because the game is an all-star game. It's like anything else. It's like the Pro Bowl, you know, the all-star game of baseball.
The Pro Bowls this weekend, totally forgot about that.
I mean, yeah, you know why you did? Because nobody cares. Not even
I don't remember the last time I watched a Pro Bowl.
Right, dude, I remember watching.
Used to be a religious, like every, like I used to religiously want to watch the Pro Bowl.
I tell you what's fun is the like the skills game stuff. Like they used to do the 40-yard dash, and then they would do the quarterbacks throwing the stuff. Like that stuff was always interesting. The game itself was never really interesting, except for, you know, one huge hit, you know, Sean Davis, Sean Davis on what is it, Brian Moorman. You know, that was a fun Pro Bowl. But after that, I mean, I remember watching, I can't remember which Super Bowl it was, but it was one in Arizona. And, you know, it was right when they moved it to the week before the Super Bowl instead of the week after. And I think on the kickoff, someone like slid down instead of getting tackled, and the whole crowd, which was maybe a third filled of that stadium, which is still a decent amount of people, but everybody started booing. It was like play one. We're not even going to play with effort. So why are we even doing this?
Pretty much.
So nobody can. I mean, Senior Bowl, Shrine Game, much more interesting, than that stuff. And I'm actually, you know, I was thinking about going to Mobile this year to go see it, but unfortunately there were a couple things going on, you know, in my personal life where I had to be home to do some stuff. And also this Saturday during the game, Hines Ward is going to be at a card event in Houston. So bought myself a mini Steelers helmet.
Oh, well, we know
where
Bogman is going to be. Yeah, we know where Bogman will be. He'll be looking through the window because there's you can't get so close to Hines Ward. There'll be a restraining order on Bogman when it comes to Hines Ward.
He doesn't recognize me, Bubba, so it's fine. And
Hines wards the school. Bogman's the one that can't be near it. It's
That order has been lifted as of 6 months ago, so, you know, it's going to be fine. No, I'm not a big autograph guy. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm not a huge autograph guy, but my buddy John, he's going anyway. He's like, Hines Ward's going to be there. And for my birthday, he bought me an admission and,
an autograph.
I guess you have to pay.
You have to buy. That's how these guys go. They get paid by X amount of tickets.
It's smart. It's definitely a smart business decision there. So I got a helmet. I'm going to be going to get Hines Ward's autograph, and I'm probably going to have to come home and watch the replay of the Senior Bowl. But like I said, The big thing in those games anyway is you want to see the practice notes from the people down there. Who is dominating? There's an old saying. I remember Matt Miller saying that he heard it from a pro scout when he was the first year he was down in Mobile, where he said, look, the great players should look great in Mobile. That's just the way it is. So if you look great, you're going to stand out. You're going to really improve your draft status. And if you look bad, you're going to get dropped. You're going to get dropped some rounds. So unfortunate that not everybody can, make themselves have a great week, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
It's pretty cool. Like, I already saw there's a lot of good people on Twitter that are down there scouting it and watching videos and stuff. And there's one this morning about Pickett. He was under center, and he's struggling under center right now because he's been in life. So that's the kind of things like you're talking about. That could I think he's going to draft pretty high. That'd be silly.
Yeah.
But it might make teams do a double take or bring him in for some extra work and kind of like do their thing with them. It's kind of fun stuff.
That's like just college, though. Like, there are very, very few college offenses that line up under center anymore. The thing that I don't like, which so many quarterbacks have, I don't like the clap snap. I hate it. I hate the clap snap. But you've seen it.
Get off on that.
Phrasing first because you can double clap, you can clap twice, it doesn't have to, the ball doesn't have to come out with that clap. So it's just like anything else. I just think, if you get into some weird rhythm, I think the cadence of the hut 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 hut, stuff, I think that makes guys jump before the like clap and then clap. I don't like that stuff. But the reports that I've heard is Kenny Pickett is looking better than anybody else. There is a nice contest between him and Malik Willis so far.
Yeah, I saw the video, and like 5 minutes later, there was another video of Mike Pickett hitting a dude 60 yards down the field on a dime right. for a touchdown. It's like, oh, okay, so you guys picked the video that makes him look bad, and like, let's not forget the rest of
right.
it type stuff.
And the big thing about him is he won't do his hand measurement until the combine because he has small hands. But you know who else had small hands going into the combine and everyone was worried about?
Joe Burrow.
Where's Joe Burrow now?
Okay. He's about to win the Super Bowl, son.
All right. This is bleeding over from the Line Star show that Bubba and I do. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The Super Bowl and less about the Senior Bowl. So stick with us. We'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
in this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm Scott Bogman, joined by Casey Bubba. Bubba, tell everyone where they can find all your great work, stuff, and things across the interwebs.
All the stuff and things. Follow me on Twitter at BDEntrek, E-N-T-R-E-K. It all gets tweeted out there multiple times a week. But the Benched with Bubba podcast, coming at you a couple times a week for fantasy baseball content, previewing positions, and other fun stuff right now. Also, written content at rotoballer.com and at Fantasy Degens, soon to be at Fantrax for your fantasy baseball needs, as long as NFL DFS over on Rotoballer. Check out the Line Star podcast that Bogman and I do multiple times a week. It's almost coming to an end this season, as the football season's almost over. And the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast with myself and my buddy Jesse, DFS Golf Gods. And last but not least, the Black Book, Fantasy Black Book, 2022 Fantasy Baseball Black Book, to get you ready for your fantasy baseball drafts.
Yeah, I'm almost done with my rankings. We're getting closer and closer. I'm working on, and they should be done on Monday. So I'm that's my weekend project after I go and harass Hines Ward.
Are you gonna wash your hand afterwards, or are you just gonna like?
I'm not that guy. I really am not.
I'm joking. I just know how much you love Hines Ward.
I do love Hines Ward. Hines Ward is one of my favorite Steelers of all time, of course. A homegrown product, played his whole career in Pittsburgh. Changed the rules because of him, but he's not in the Hall of Fame because he didn't have more catches or touchdowns. So, okay. If you guys say so, Hines Ward is one of those guys that will get in by the veteran committee. He's one of those guys, which is how Bonds and all those guys,
Roger, the ones that deserve it, but the media are idiots.
Those guys will get in eventually too, from a veteran committee. They're kind of, it's kind of like a safety net of, we didn't put these guys in, so we realized we were dumb when we didn't. So now we got to put them in. That's how Hines will get in. And I'm sure he will at some point. So, and you see those guys all the time. Hopefully it'll happen before he's gone, because he's going to go way after I do. So I'd love to see him go in, So we'll see if he ever gets there. But looking forward to what's going on now in the Super Bowl. And, as much as I don't like it, of course, Cincinnati Bengals are in, look like a dynasty type of a team here with all these young players, which is not great news for my Steelers. Fortunately, in a couple of years, they'll have to re-sign Joe Burrow to a massive deal, and they'll have to cut everything else out, which is kind of what we're seeing with the Chiefs at this point. Window's still open for both those teams. The Bills are going to just keep improving. The Ravens are going to get healthy. Justin Herbert has a good crew around him. AFC is going to be a lot of fun for a lot of years, man. But Burrow is the king in the castle in the AFC right now. And Matt Stafford is, proving that if you put the team around him, he could have taken you to the Super Bowl, Detroit. He could have done it, but they weren't, willing or able, whichever, reason you want to use if you're a Detroit fan, to put the right pieces around him and get him there. So, interesting Super Bowl, like we said on Line Star, first time in 19 seasons, this Super Bowl hasn't had Brady, Roethlisberger, Manning, or the Niners. So, interesting stuff here. Obviously, the Rams went 4 years ago and lost to the Patriots and Brady. That was your lowest scoring Super Bowl that you guys remember. Everyone complained about commercials were the best part, blah, 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 all that stuff. The Bengals haven't been since 1989 or whatever it was when they played the Niners in the Super Bowl. Sure. So it's two newer franchises, but your first view from 30,000 feet when you look at the Super Bowl, what is it that excites you the most? And I know what it is, and it's going to annoy me, but go ahead.
I won't do it, but it's Joe Burrow. I'm really looking forward to Joe Burrow on the big stage. Been here, done that type thing, just not the Super Bowl, but national title games. And they've been playing near Super Bowls the last like 3 or 4 weeks already. So he's ready for the competition. He doesn't mind the spotlight. So I'm looking forward to all that. It's just a combination of, can Joe Burrow finish this? Is it like the beginning of a dynasty? Or can Aaron Donald and Von Miller and company just destroy Joe Burrow's hopes and dreams? I think what it's really going to come down to, besides the O-line of the Bengals, is who can out-coach who? That's the big question. Because Sean McVay, if you had to put it down on paper, probably the better coach than Zach Taylor. But Zach Taylor's a darn good coach. Like, that's not taking anything away from Zach Taylor, what he's done with the Bengals. But I think at least we think Sean McVay is the better coach. So given 2 weeks to plan, we've seen this with Belichick and company in the past, even in seasons when it didn't feel like the Patriots should have been the favorite team. It was just like, they got Belichick. He's got 2 weeks. You're screwed. Like, that's just the way it's going to go. It kind of feels like it's McVay versus Taylor, and that's going to kind of decide this thing. And it kind of sounds silly, but it's probably how it's going to go.
It's funny that you mentioned that. And I saw, you know, of course, one of those sarcastic, snarky tweets, and it said the Sean McVay coaching tree, because Zach Taylor was on there, fruits a Super Bowl before the Bill Belichick coaching tree does. So which is interesting, because of course, Zach Taylor and Sean McVay buddies, both super young coaches, both very good coaches. You know, I think this is going to be the coaching aspect is definitely on the table. But honestly, I think because they know each other so well, I think it kind of nullifies that. Of course, when we get in there and, you know, Cincinnati or Los Angeles is doing one thing that keeps stopping the other team's offense, then we'll know, you know, that's some coaching, that's something they prep for, and that is what won them the game. I think it's going to come down to something weird, dude. And if it is special teams, I hate to say it, but Matt Gay hasn't been the same since pulling his groin in, I believe it was the divisional
Tampa
round.
Tampa Bay game.
Yeah. The divisional round, pulling his groin. And then they weren't even sure he was going to kick, and he missed a couple kicks there. The one that sent them, or the one that gave them the lead last week, it was a little shaky. I mean, made it through, but it was shaky. And this guy, you mentioned it online, Star Bub, Pro Bowl kicker, you know, but Evan McPherson's got that ice in his veins, man. You know,
12 for 12 so far in his first ever postseason.
He's the opposite of Mike VanderJet. Remember Mike VanderJet? Oh, you put him on that big stage and he whiffs. Melts. You know, that is the opposite of Evan McPherson. Is just going out and nailing these kicks. He's like, Vinatieri, and Vinatieri helped get that dynasty started. Yep.
And I just heard Vinny talking about him on the McAfee show yesterday. He really likes what he sees in this kid. He talked to his college coach about him. And they were talking when Bunny Mac was on McAfee last week. McAfee has a ball on his desk, a Colts ball that's got all of Vinatieri's kicking records on it. Mm-hmm. And I guess McPherson watches the show. So he tells Pat to pick it up, and he goes, look at that one at the bottom. He's like, you've been watching the ball? Like, look at this ball. He's like, I've zoomed in on it. And he said the one on the bottom is total playoff point. They're all Vinny's records. It says total playoff points. He's all, I'm beating that one.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one you want to beat too.
He said that before even they beat the Chiefs, so he knew he had to get to the Super Bowl. I'm beating that one.
Wow, interesting. I mean, that's confidence, but you know, it's always the line, right? And I can't believe we're talking about kickers here. We started the Super Bowl, and we're talking about stupid kickers. Yeah. But you know,
this is what happens. You have 2 weeks to talk about stuff.
That's very true. but there's a thin line, and this has always been said. I'm not breaking any news here, but there's a thin line between confidence and arrogance. You know what I mean? But also, you know, it's one of those things, and it's you appreciate it when it happens because, if he starts taking warm-up kicks and he doesn't say to Brandon Allen, looks like we're winning the Super Bowl, then does he just know he's off that day and this is a 50-50 kick? Or is it, well, I'm not going to say it every single time. Is it like going to be old news for him or whatever? So, I mean, Justin Tucker is the best to ever do it. So, If we see, and this would be crazy because that would put the best three kickers in the AFC North.
I'll say they're all in the same division.
Because Boswell is outstanding. Tucker's great. And McPherson is proving to be one of the better kickers in the NFL right now. He's hitting these clutch money long kicks to win games in the playoffs. So, undeniable that we talked about kickers for half a segment. So when we come back, we'll talk about the Super Bowl a little bit more, not about kickers. It's ITL on the Sports Grid. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Why the fuck is it called
a... In this league.
Because who could be scared of a...
In this league.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In this league.
I just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. Please check out the ITL Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army or inthisleague.com. We'll get you there. We've got group me rooms where there's all kinds of discussions going on. We're going to bring one up in the next segment about Wander Franco. Football, baseball, college football, prospect one. We have a room just for our captains. That's our highest level. We have all kinds of great stuff going on over there. That's how you get in our mocks. If you are interested in being in an In This League mock draft that we do all preseason long, we do one every week. This week was points, and Yahoo is open. So we did it on Yahoo for baseball. So very, very interesting there. If you'd like to check it out, please. Like I said, inthisleague.com or patreon.com/ITLArmory will take you there. I am joined by Casey Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. We're talking about the Super Bowl. Yes, Bubba?
I want to mention one more thing before you move on from the Patreon. It's worth it in its own to get Bogman's draft thing. He does team by teams. Like sheet? You didn't plug that. That sheet, A, I know you put way too much time into that. And B, it's absolutely amazing. It's like every possible thing down to the dollars that you need to know about a team.
Yeah, I make a sheet for the draft because this is how I get into the draft, right? So I get all your prospects, by position, QB, RB, blah, 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 all the way down. I do interior offensive lineman, edge, interior defensive lineman, because that's just kind of the way the league is moving. And then I break down every single team, what they have in their current roster, their cap room, their draft picks, all that stuff to kind of see. For me, I want to see what they need. Because, every team wants their team to take X, Y, or Z. And you can go to a website. You can go to the Draft Network or NFL.com or whatever and see what each team actually needs. But I like to look at it myself like, okay, well, maybe they do need a linebacker, but they drafted this guy in the third round last year. He's probably their answer there. So I'm not going to, mock them a linebacker because I think the guy is already on the roster. Or I'll look and go, why is everyone giving the Steelers a quarterback when they need four offensive linemen? Who is going to protect this guy? It's not like Cincinnati where you have a rough offensive line, but you've drafted some guys there and they're just young and they're developing. No, it's bad. You need at least three replacements, at least three. So that is obviously, and they were the number one worst rush defense in the league last year. That may be solved between Tuitt and Alualu coming back if they both do. But if they both go, Jordan Davis is a possibility for the Steelers because they need to stop the run. So, these are the things that go through my mind, right? These are the things that keep me up at night are why would you draft a quarterback at that spot unless you have a franchise changer, and also free agency plays a lot in there. Who has the cap space to make these moves too? So this is, that keeps me up. And then why would Anakin Skywalker make C-3PO a bitch? Like, why would he program him like that?
Why would he kiss his sister?
So many things. So these are the things that run through my mind when I'm trying to go to sleep. Am I going to die or am I healthy or am I doing anything right? So
the bright side is you could probably stop having to worry about the Dolphins for the next 5 to 10 years. So you're good there.
It is messy. Some mess going on down there. So, but anyway, let's get back to the Super Bowl, Bub. Thank you by the way for the plug. Appreciate you. But let's get back to the Super Bowl. And obviously, special teams are going to matter. They matter every single week. Ask the Packers if special teams don't matter, right? So, I'm just saying, they fired their special teams coordinator, and I think they said it's like 7 out of the last 8 years they fired their special teams coordinator. So it's like, who is hiring? Who's doing the hiring of this guy? Get somebody new. Out and spend some money on it. It screwed you out of a shot at the Super Bowl. So I don't know, man. It's these things do matter. Everything matters a little bit in football, of course, team sport, all that stuff. But quarterback, that's what. So Jimmy between Stafford and Burrow, I mean, and I know everybody loves Burrow. And look, outside of playing in Cincinnati, he is unbelievably likable to me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah, wins the national championship at LSU, and I was at the game where he just got blasted by that UCF defensive lineman. Got up, shook it off, and won that game. And then they went undefeated the next year. It was like that hit woke him up. So it was incredible to watch this crazy transformation. He was good half a season before that hit, but which is why they were in the Fiesta Bowl, of course. But, you know, I mean, he had there's little things in you that go, all right, well, he had Justin Jefferson. He had, Jamar Chase. He had Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He had a good offensive line. That defense was outstanding. Like, is this Joe Burrow, or is he a product of a very good school, right? That's kind of been the stuff with Alabama. And
you can say that with Ohio State quarterbacks, too.
You can say that with all the Ohio State. I mean, Dwayne Haskins is terrible. You know, he's not very good. I didn't think he was very good coming out. No. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you just kind of, you're not sure and you don't think so, but there's always that inkling. Is he a system guy? Is he that guy? Burrow absolutely is not that guy. Nope. He is the guy to take your team to the Super Bowl, which he obviously did. Matt Stafford, you started to think, okay, well, you know, one of the, and I remember reading Mel Kiper, best arm I've graded since John Elway. That was the stuff that he is saying about Matt Stafford. And I was like, man, he is really good. Agrees. Right. And this is the kind of guy you have to bring into your franchise to turn them around, which is where you can tell the difference between a team like Detroit and Cincinnati. Cincinnati can do it. They just had the wrong guy at head coach for over a decade in Marvin Lewis. He was a joke. And you know, you bring in Zach Taylor and bring in Joe Burrow and everything changes. And now they're in the Super Bowl. So, you know, Sean McVay, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of stuff going on with interviews right now that we're not going to get into. You know, Brian Flores obviously having issues with the Rooney Rule and stuff like that. But, you know, there's some sarcasm to, well, you know, look, we got to we're going to bring in these three coordinators to interview. Plus, this guy shook Sean McVay's hand on a flight. So we're going to bring him in, too. You know, it's like anything Sean McVay touches turns to gold at this point. So he's an outstanding coach. And have you ever seen the, this is a weird tangent, I'm sorry, I'm bringing this down, but have you ever seen the clip of them asking him plays from like years and years ago? And he remembers exactly what happened on that play.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah. This was kind of one of like when he was first given the job, I think.
When he was first given the job in LA. Yeah.
I remember it was like Pop Quiz Hotshot, and he like knew them all like to a T. It was very, right. Very cerebral and crazy.
It was like a third and two play on the Bucks 47 with a minute and 19 seconds left in the game. What was a play call? And he's like, fire X zone over to, you know, whoever. And it's just, it's crazy that he recalls all this stuff. And then my favorite one was he was coaching Washington at the time, and they asked him all these questions, and he said, and then what was the meme? And he said, you like that. Because it was you like that game where they beat the Bucks on the big comeback.
And Kirk Cousins.
Like that. Right. So, but anyway, you know, looking at these two teams, like you said before, the marquee draw to this game is going to be the Cincinnati offense versus the Los Angeles Rams defense, right?
Yeah, for the most part. You want to see Burrow. You want to see Chase. Like we talked about before, is we haven't seen that big Cincinnati game in a while, like probably since week 17 against the Chiefs. So since they've been in all these playoff games, we really haven't seen it. And you're kind of wondering, can they do that? And we've seen it in Super Bowls, kind of it's a feeling out process. And then it maybe happens type thing. That'd be fun to see. You want to see Chase do his thing with Burrow, but can they have time? We saw the 9 sacks against Tennessee. There's great arguments that Donald and Miller are a lot better defensive line than that Tennessee one. Tennessee's very, very good. Don't get me wrong, but ask Jimmy G on that last play what it was like having Aaron Donald right up your rear end trying to run for your life. It's a little different, but let's not discount at the same time. You mentioned Stafford. You got Stafford. You got Cooper Kupp. Like, if it wasn't for Brady and Rodgers having amazing years, that's your MVP right there. If he won it, I wouldn't care. Like, it's rightfully so. Cooper Kupp's that darn good. So let's not discount that. You got OBJ kind of remaking himself. He's been kind of quiet and doing his thing and beasting out. And there's great stuff with Cam Akers. It's like It feels like it's going to be kind of a low-scoring, slow start to a game. I just want fireworks on this. Like, there's two really, really good offenses, and then you got an underrated Chiefs defense. Like, it's there's so many pieces to this game. It's
Bengals fun. Defense.
Bengals, that's what I meant. Bengals. Yeah. It's just it's fun seeing or having two teams that are really, really good in so many aspects of the game where you can't really find the direct weakness outside of that offensive line. So it's really, really interesting.
And let's not forget, you know, everyone's talking about that side of the ball, the Rams defense. Von Miller not only has been to the Super Bowl, he was a Super Bowl MVP on the defensive side.
Beat Carolina, yeah.
Also defensive player of the year that year, just had an enormous year making. And everybody remembers the, you know, Cam Newton making the business decision to not dive back in on that ball after Miller stripped it from him. You know, that was like, that's your moment of that Super Bowl. That was Super Bowl 50, I believe, too. So it was, very, very interesting to see both sides of the ball here, of course. But I feel like I'm more interested in the other side, like you said, the Rams offense versus the Bengals defense, because I just want to see if this offensive line of the Rams can hold up against Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard, who have been dominant through the playoffs. They have been outstanding. They've been, they were in Ryan Tannehill's face, forcing turnovers. We saw Jesse Bates make plays in two of these games that were just outstanding. The one he knocked Devon Bell last week and the pick on the first play of the game from Ryan Tannehill the week before were just great plays too. And it's going to be, to me, it's, are we going to be able to keep Joe Burrow alive if you're Cincinnati? And on the other side is Matt Stafford going to make that stupid play that he made?
He made a couple of them.
The tart drop pick was unbelievable. That sends him to the Super Bowl. And I'm sorry to say, I don't like to boil it down to one play. That play sends him to the Super Bowl and he dropped it. So that's going to haunt him until he gets a ring for sure. But we got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to transition to some baseball because I got a question about Wander Franco for Bubba on the other side. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking the...
In this league.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. In this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Joined by Casey Bubba, at BD Entrick. On the Twitter, we are going to transition to baseball. Way more Super Bowl talk next week, of course, because this show will air the day before the Super Bowl. So we'll be breaking down the Super Bowl for the entirety of next week's show. I'm sure maybe hour two we'll have a baseball guest on again, but mainly Super Bowl talk here. But Bubba, there was an interesting debate brought up on the ITL GroupMe room today, and it was about Wander Franco. And I think a lot of people have been, it was really brought from one person tweeting, I believe it was Derek Cardi.
It was kind of the combo. Rob Silver kind of started it, and Derek Cardi ran with it.
Okay. I wasn't sure who was first, because the way it was presented to me was I first saw Cardi's and then I saw Rob's, and I was like, is this just an argument between these two guys? What's happening?
No.
So, So Rob tweeted something along the lines of, it was, the homers for Wander Franco since he got called up was tied with like Jonah Heim and, somebody, Thyro Estrada, somebody like that. for 171st in the league, and the stolen bases were like in the 150s or something from the time he got brought up, something on that pace. So, you know, Rob was basically saying, I'm going to pass, right? And then Derek Carty said, for whatever reason, the industry, he didn't bring up Rob's name, which, I mean, just bring up his name, man, you know, but he didn't bring up Rob's name, but he said, you know, people in the industry, and this is a thought process that I've heard many times, you know, it, you know, that says Wander Franco can't improve. And I think that's ridiculous. It was something I'm paraphrasing here, of course. But it led to an interesting discussion in our GroupMe room about his dynasty value right now, Wander Franco, and players of his ilk. And I have always said, you know, I have always said things along the lines of, look, every prospect is overrated every year. And I'm not, this is a blanket statement. You obviously want to keep your really good prospects, your Wanders, your Vlads, your Sotos, you know, guys like that. You want to hold on to those guys as long as you can. The point I make when I say stuff like that is that the other owner that is playing for the future will overvalue that guy. That guy has had no at-bats in the bigs ever in his life. We've seen plenty of guys rip up AAA, rip up AA, tear through these systems, get up to the bigs, and they can't do it the same way. It's what makes the greats great, is that not everyone that can rip through those systems can come up to the bigs and then continue to dominate. You know, if you can, you are a superstar. You know, if you can't, you're either a middling player. Pretty much every MLB player ripped through the minor leagues to get to the majors. Not all of them, of course. Some of them, longer paths, longer journey, all that stuff. But everyone was a big-time prospect, almost everybody. So, you know, and you have superstars, and you have average players, and you have below-average players. It's just the way every league works. So when I say that, I'm not saying that these guys can't make it. What I'm saying is that the chances of them making it are probably about a third. Obviously, many, many guys are closer. Some of them are 50%. I think when you see a guy like Vlad, you think 90%. He has the genes. His dad was a major leaguer. He's fastest exit velocity. Like, all these little signs add up. For a guy like Wander Franco, there are, you know, better real-life players than fantasy players and better fantasy players than real-life players, of course. And a lot of people are putting him in that group because he doesn't have crazy speed. He doesn't have crazy power, that he is going to be kind of this, you know, 15-15, which is good with a high average player. That's not offering you, you know, 35 to 40 stolen base upside. It's not offering you 40 homer upside. You're never going to get a crazy amount of RBI. You're going to get decent runs. You're going to have a high average, but he's never going to leap off the page as one of those best players in the league. And I think the big question in my eyes on him is he going to run well, and are they going to let him run in Tampa Bay? Those are the two things for me. And the phrase, he might be at his peak value, was brought up, which I believe among dynasty rankers is somewhere in the middle of the second round. I'll double check on Fantasy Pros as we're having this discussion. But Bubba, when you hear something like that about Wander Franco, that he might be at peak value now, is that something you agree with? Or is that something where you go, well, the guy is 21 or whatever he is, 22 years old.
He's not even 21 yet.
So he's not even 21. So there's no way he can be close to his peak value. So is there one that's closer than the other, or do you kind of agree with that statement?
Well, here's the thing, is like, I believe he's going to be better than his stats have showed, but I can also see the argument that he's pretty much hit peak value because he's a mid second round pick. What do you have, like 20 picks to go, 30 picks to go before he hits the number one spot? So you're kind of playing with the, you know, all it takes is one little injury and he drops back and you've lost all your value. So he's pretty much, he's close to peak value. I wouldn't say he is peak value, but he's close to peak value.
I'm looking at Fantasy Pros. Now, to be fair, there's only four people that have ranked for Dynasty so far. But Wander Franco on that list is seven. So
he's hit his peak Dynasty. Like, just
at seven, he would have to have
hit. He's a first-round pick now. And I get it. I get what they're saying. Like I said, 20 years old, the hype train is real. But like what Rob Silver said, these other guys have said, is he's a great batting average asset. But even in the minors, he didn't really show power, didn't run a ton. Like, it's not that he can't do it. Maybe he turns it on one day and now he's a 25 to 30 homer guy and a 15 to 20 steal guy. Maybe, who knows? He hasn't shown it. He's a big dude too. I don't think he's getting much smaller.
And like, power is the last tool to develop too. Yeah. Usually.
He's
not
got
every
great play discipline. He hits the ball well. Like, he's going to be very, very good. Don't get me wrong, but it's like everybody is so enamored with Wander Franco right now. If you can, like, if you can trade him in win now type mode, I would do it in 2 seconds. Like, because like you said, the team that's rebuilding is going to way overpay for him, and I think you could take big time advantage of it.
And it's funny, you know, that you know you would have the advantage over someone who is rebuilding if you have him. But that is the kind of deal that I'm talking about when I say that, you know. Every player, when they're in the minor leagues, almost every player, obviously not every player, I'm painting with a broad brush here. So, but most players are overvalued because it's this, you know, what's in the box, right? It's the old, Welsh brought it up a couple weeks ago. It's the old, Family Guy thing where, you know, we're going to give you a boat or you can have the mystery box. Well, anything could be in the mystery box. It could even be a boat. Like, you already had the boat,
exactly.
You know, don't trade the boat for maybe a boat. You maybe something better for a boat. You have a boat. A boat is great. Yep. You know? So that's kind of the point that I'm making when you're trading for an asset that hasn't done anything yet. Wander Franco has been in the bigs and had a fantastic half a season. And the reason that I, in our chat, I pushed back against he has hit peak value. And the reason I did, our guy Mike B made this point, and I couldn't agree with it anymore. He said, if he has an average season, you know, he hits 15-ish homers, steals 10-ish bases, somewhere in that range, and he hits for a high average again, he is going to be right back where he was this year, I think, maybe down a little bit, but still hovering somewhere in that second round, not, you know, the first round. I think Wander Franco's dynasty value is going to drop tremendously once Fantasy Pros gets 30 people ranked. It's obviously the very beginning of February right now as we're recording this. So, he won't be around 7-ish is my point. I don't think he'll be a first rounder, but I think it'll be hovering in the same position if he does that, because he'll be hitting, you know, he'll be in a big league lineup. He'll have a year and a half of experience, and they'll say, what did you start off by saying here, Bub? He's not even 21
yet. He's not even 21 yet. Like, there's still a ton of development. So I get why people are enamored by him, but it's so cool because of his age and how much people love him. You could literally trade him and get like young guys that are still going to help you for years to come.
Right.
Like, there's so many like little things you can do that makes it really enticing to move him.
Is there a trade that you have done or seen done that you either go, okay, that's the fair value for Wander Franco, or maybe one that you can come up with off the top of your head where you go, okay, now I get it. You know, we were, I think in the group me room, the Corbin Burns for Wander Franco was brought up, which is obviously a huge risk. Corbin Burns, one of the best pitchers in baseball, but he's a pitcher.
Yep.
You know, so pitchers get hurt way more often. You lose a year and a half if they have Tommy John. Sometimes more than that before the control is coming back. Sometimes these guys never get back to the pitcher they were after surgery like Tommy John or, you know, capsule surgery or any of that stuff. You know, so is that a move that you think you'd be willing to do this year because we know what Burns is? Or is that something where you go, no, I'm going to keep the hitter because he still has that high end potential. And like we said before, he is 11 years old. So he's got plenty of time to grow here.
Yeah. I'd probably stick with the hitter. Like, I love Burns, but for me, if I'm going pitcher, I want like a good, like Freddie Peralta and another bat, like go mix and match it a little bit, kind of try to find the next Corbin Burns and get a bat to go with it. Like, really maximize Wander Franco. I feel like a one-for-one, as much as awesome as Burns is, and if he's great his whole career, awesome, but we don't see that often. I think if you can maximize and make like one guy turn into like two or three really, really awesome assets to your team for years to come, that'd be my approach to it. Not always the easiest thing to do, but I'd try to like really cash in, because the value for Wander Franco right now is just ridiculous, where you can – it's like the old days of like Mike Troutish type stuff. You could ask for quite a lot.
Yeah, and that's – you know, that's why we're talking about this right now when he is 20 years old, you know, because we're talking about max value. It's the thought process behind prospects is all. And, you know, look, Welsh, He talks up prospects all day long. He's prospect one. He's the prospect guy. And you see him not take many of them in his drafts. Why? Because he knows it takes a long time to develop these guys. He's watched the process before. So, you know, we can get excited about all these players, you know, Wander Franco being the biggest one here in a while, the biggest one since Vlad, of course. And, you know, it's probably going to work out. I feel like it is, you know, but what is that working out? You know, I think a good comp, someone else brought up in the group me room, of course, Anthony Rendon, his numbers. I think that's a great comp for Wander, because that, you know, that leaves you room improvement for power. He has that high batting average, and that would be a complete wipeout of the stolen bases.
Yep.
So to me, that is your floor, is a guy like Anthony Rendon. Now, if you think of peak, you know, Wander Franco value, Anthony Rendon with steals. That's a great player. That's a top end of the first round.
You're talking
player.
Jose Ramirez then?
Yeah, you're talking Jose Ramirez. You're talking Juan Soto, you know, maybe not as high average, but maybe a little more steals. You know, those are the type of players that you're talking about. So, you know, I think Wander Franco is a very safe asset. So I think if you are trading for him or trading him away, feel like you're at least trading what Anthony Rendon did. So I think that's an outstanding comp that we got from the group.
That's pretty good. That's pretty, pretty good. I'd trade him, though. That's my 2 cents.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not drafting him this year. I'm not paying the price for him.
I haven't paid the price for him. I don't think I will. But I think in general, not just Franco, prospects with hype, I'm trying to deal. You know, that's just how it is. You know, if you would have traded Vidal Brujan last year, you would have made way more money than you would have this year. You know what I mean? Your profit margin would have been way bigger. Guys like that. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to end the 3-hour tour. I promise I will not pump any more GroupMe rooms. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm Scott Bachman. You guys hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It's the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. I'm here with Casey Bubba ending it out. Bub, before we go, I want to ask you, what is your favorite Super Bowl bet? Do you like just the game straight up? Do you like the prop bets? Do you like the squares? I know Fantasy Pros is doing squares this year. What is your favorite type of thing? You like the coin flip? You like the commercials? What do you like to bet on?
I usually just do the squares these days. Like, the game's always fun, but it kind of ruins the game, especially this one where I want the Bengals to win, but I just want a good game, so I'm not too worried about it type situation. So I think it's more squares for me. There's some prop bets that we'll probably get into next week that might be a little more enticing. I haven't dug into them that much, but every now and then there's some fun ones like Gatorade color and stuff like that. Goofy ones. Those are always fun, but I think the fun, simple ones that everyone can enjoy is just give me the squares until you see what your numbers are and realize you have no hope, but that's fun too.
What the Welsh and I have done for a couple of years is we take these prop bets, we put them on a sheet, you pick all of them, and then whoever gets the most wins. You know, something
that's
like
fun.
That too. So that way you're not putting up 10 bucks on every single
you should
prop.
Play like prop bet bingo.
Ooh, that's a good
one
too.
So if you
too.
Hit bingo first, like if you're different cards like bingo and then they all have the same prop, whatever. But if you, whoever hits bingo first wins.
We do that for Thursday Night Football sometimes too. See, so I know how to set that up too. So
that could be fun.
Yeah. That's great. I love it. So, all right. Well, look, the Super Bowl, there's so many things. There's media day and we get all kinds of new guys. You're going to get all kinds of great quotes. Hopefully someone will guarantee a win. That's always fun. Super Bowl material, all that stuff. And it's not with Brady again. And it never will be with Brady.
There's some
again.
Good personalities this go around. So
right.
Fun.
So we won't have to, you know, hear someone, a little kid, ask him who's his hero and watch him cry again. So, you know, I've seen enough Brady in, you know, 10 media days with Brady. I'm sick of him. So, but that is going to wrap it up for us. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We did some baseball player debates. We talked about the Super Bowl a little bit. So it was a lot of fun. So remember, you can find us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for myself, at BD Entrick for Bubba, and at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. And we will see you guys next week to break down the whole Super Bowl 56. So we'll see you then. Take it easy, everybody.